Drive Time on RTE Radio 1. Sponsored by Zurich. For pensions, protection, savings and investments. At Zurich, we deal in peace of mind.
Now, the British government is considering extending its sugar tax to include milk and dairy substitute-based drinks. These have so far been exempt from the tax on fizzy drinks. To take us through what's taxed here in this regard, what it isn't and what should be, maybe, we're joined by the Health Service Executive Lead for Obesity, Professor Donal O'Shea. Donal, you're very welcome to the programme again. They seem to be having somewhat of a war on sugar in the UK, be it right or wrong. What's the situation with the sugar tax here? What's included?
Well, when this was introduced, it was introduced in Ireland very much along the lines of the UK, which was kind of soft drinks and sugar sweetened drinks that were water based. And if it contained between 5 grams per 100 mils, the tax was about 16 cent per 100 mils. And if that content went up to kind of 8 or 9 grams or over, then it was 24 cent per 100 mils. So quite significant. And but dairy-based was excluded at that point. But it was always intended that it would be introduced quite soon, because it's once you have a precedent for a tax, you can expand the base much easier than introduce a new tax. So people will talk about, well, should we be taxing, you know, chocolate or other confectionery in the same way? That would be a totally different tax, whereas this would just be expanding the sugar sweetened drinks tax base. And it's been very effective.
Okay. And they are talking about extending this tax to include non-dairy subs, like with added sugar, like oat milk, for example, or soy milk, or almond milk, rice milk, all those type of things that they put in. People who are health conscious put in coffees, for example. Do people realise, I wonder, that they have high sugar contents?
Most people don't, and they're promoted as healthy alternatives to milk. And the kind of point about lactose intolerance and how common that may or may not be is kind of used to promote their sales. But people don't realise they're very high in sugar, and often higher in fat than normal milk. I mean, milk is naturally low in fat. 3% fat is the normal fat content in milk.
My goodness. So would you like those type of alternative milks to be included in a sugar tax here?
I would, because I think we need to change the pattern of sugar consumption, you know, that we have, especially in our younger kids and young adults. I mean, the decade of most weight gain in life is the 35 to 45 year age group. And if you could target reducing weight gain in young adults, you know, children and young adults, it would be incredibly positive. And consumption of sugar causes spike in insulin. Spike in insulin stimulates hunger. So you get this kind of perfect storm of you're consuming sugared calories that are driving insulin, that is in turn driving appetite and making you hungry.
Yeah, which makes complete sense, I must say, the way you describe it. How and ever. I mean, if you add a sugar tax to oat milk, for example, the morning coffee that people might get out is creeping closer to 5 euro all the time. I mean, would you not get a backlash?
I think you would get a backlash, and there will be the usual arguments that are rolled out about nanny state. The most significant events after the introduction of the sugar sweetened drinks tax 5 or 6 years ago now was rapid reformulation by the food and drinks industry to reduce their sugar content to below that 5 grams per 100 mils and become exempt, or to reduce it from above 10 grams to the between 5 and 8, so they were in the lesser tax bracket.
Yeah.
And that kind of reformulation makes a huge population difference. There is a reformulation task force working within, linked to the Department of Health, that's working with industry. But voluntary reformulation is achingly slow. You legislate, achingly slow, and you legislate, and the reformulation happens literally overnight.
Yeah. Is that because the companies are making a calculation here that people will probably pay a little bit more instead of and put up with that price? instead of the company having to go through the process of reformulating and bringing that to the market. Is that it?
No, I think the companies have already reformulated in anticipation of these taxes, and those products will become very rapidly available, but not until the tax forces their hand, because there is a change in slight taste and taste and texture. So there is a bit of a readjustment, and they don't need it at the moment because patterns and consumption suit them perfectly.
But really briefly, could there not be a little bit of an inconsistency here? You pointed out that we don't have a sugar tax, I think, on sweetened products like chocolate or croissants or Danish. Let me return to the morning coffee for a second. You could have a ludicrous situation where you'd have a sugar tax on the oat milk you'd have in your coffee, but not on the Danish that you'd be scoffing down along with it.
Yeah, I mean, look, there is an inconsistency there. I think liquid calories are a very good place to start when you're introducing a focus on, a healthier weight. And you swap a latte for an Americano, and you will have 3 calories in your Americano versus 135, 140 calories in your latte, or even, you know, 180 in your cappuccino.
The donut is still the same. You know, you take the point I'm making, but I think
I do take that point. Yeah. I do take that point.
But liquid calories and liquid sugar and so on, I mean, that is, as you rightly point out, it's obviously detrimental, and it's why it's so addictive for so many people. It's easy going down. Look, Professor Donal O'Shea, HSE lead for obesity, thank you very much indeed. Let's see what happens here on Full of What's Happening in the UK.